Good morning, beautiful people. Welcome back to the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk. I'm Babs Rolls Ivy. That's Anru. He's back to bring the word of the Orishas to us. So I saw your post the other day. I think it was yesterday. Can I just read it? Just sitting here to be reminded of different ways of being. Maybe it's not about pushing so hard. Maybe it's more important to listen to these beings than the drone or productivity I have so deeply internalized. A slow process to change bit by bit. So yeah. I kind of interpreted that earlier at the top of my show, the first hour, about when I was talking about you coming on. I was like, that's that grind, you know, that internalized grind theory of, we just grind until it hurts, grind until you die, grind until you fall. Because that's how you show, that's how you get to success.
Yeah. Yes. So the other piece around that goes with that post is how sitting, it's a picture of this tree that's leaning over
the
water. So that's important because to me, those are the beings that I'm sitting with that remind me literally of a different way of being, right? That pulls me. It doesn't like, I don't know if pulls me out, but like its presence is like there. And so it's a matter of like, oh, I have to keep, you know, I got to keep going back. I got to keep going to like listen to those beings instead of listening to all these other, right? The drone of all these other beings say like, yes, you got to push. It's got to be bigger. It's got to be faster. It's got to be more, right? Oh, this is something you like, you can do, then it needs to scale up and be bigger. And and like that is, you know, I've been like in this tradition for a long time, and have really kind of taken a approach to my life that was about like, well, you know, really, why am I here and what's this about for a long time? And I still got to work, right? I still got to work hard, not just work, but I still have to like put effort into being reminded that there's a different way of living, right? There's a different way of being in relationship to health and well-being and people and life and even what life and living mean. Because the forces that don't want that are also relentless and are just ongoing, you know, and that's that in that moment, you know, it was particularly striking. I mean, it's kind of striking and real all the time, which is why practice is, even for me, is like, all right, I have to actually keep leaning into this practice, whether I feel motivated or not, whether I'm feeling like in that grind, or I'm feeling super connected. The practice to kind of come back to like, who am I choosing to listen to in this moment? So that's really what it was and what it still is even today. And that's a slow bit by bit, just got to keep showing up for that, like for that type of nourishment, versus the like, whoa, sugar tastes really good. Right. And that's, that's not going to really get you where you want to go, or where I take me where I want to go. As an example.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, Anru, these are challenging times, as we always say. These are challenging times, and people are trying to sort of find their place in these challenging times. You know, how do you center your own self in these challenging times? How do you hold on to a faith practice when you don't really feel like there's no faith happening around you? You know what I mean? Like when you feel,
yes,
like what am I doing? Why am I even doing this?
Right. So if we look at so we are a part of this natural system, right? Nature is not out there, right? We are part and parcel of it, but because of how we've, I think, been socialized, right? Kind of nature is out there, and how do we connect with nature, right? And so just to, for simplicity of language, I'll say it that way. So if we look to nature, you know, the near where I live is Edgewood Park, and there's mm-hmm. a section of Edgewood Park which has one of the kind of largest remaining stands of cattails.
Mm.
And right next to it, not even really on the other side of like some of how the West River is moving through those wetlands, are like these huge stands of Phragmites, which are, you know, everywhere, right? Those really tall grasses that actually we see more often than cattails. And there was actually a time when there were actually more cattails, because Phragmites, in terms of being here, are invasive. They were brought over, you know, they came over, I don't even know exactly how, but probably through, you know, some kind of shipping, and landed here, and we're like, ooh, this is wonderful. And like, as an invasive species that don't have like a niche already, they kind of grow fast and take advantage of what's here. They don't have other things competing with it in the same way. So they just like spread. And so in this particular place, you can really see this dramatic example of the Phragmites are just moving, and the cattails, the area that they're living in and the ecosystem that they're part of are getting, is shrinking. So there will be a time, barring any kind of intervention, anything fundamentally changes, where there will be no more cattails in that area.
Mm.
It'd be 1,000 years, could be 100. I have no idea the scale, really the pace of how things are moving there, but that is moving. And I recently listened to this person. What's his first name? I think it's Tom Wessels, who has this whole, does this piece around environmental forensics, kind of looking at a forest, looking at a place, looking at an ecosystem, like what's the history of it, what's happening here. And the way that he describes like in kind of the impact of invasive species was really powerful, in that, you know, a system evolves over a very long time to find some kind of balance in it. And then particularly on this part of the continent, I think in some ways, well, is where we are, so it seems most dramatic. Kind of settlers came, kind of colonized, right? So we have this kind of other place. And instead of coming and saying like, oh, what is this place we're coming into? And how do we move in harmony with what is here and come into this, right, as partners, as like something is here, how do I move in balance with it? It was like, oh, I'm going to, quote, discover this, right? And I'm going to make this mine. And so in a similar way, invasive species kind of come into this place and don't have that sense of harmony and balance, which this person, Dr. Wessel says, can happen, but it's going to take like 1,000 years, right? For the ecosystem here to shift and to find a new kind of harmony. But in the beginning, it's just like devastation, you know, and there's all kinds of other examples of kind of a devastating invasive species on really indigenous ecosystems. So all this is to say, I'm bringing this back to like, how do we maintain, right? So as I've looked at that space, and if you can imagine kind of a clump of these cattails, and kind of on one edge of them are these Phragmites kind of moving and kind of taking over these spaces. The cattails' strategy is to be cattails. Be a cattail, right? So whether they're the cattail right on the edge of where that other Phragmites is right next to it, right, kind of encroaching on it, or whether it's the cattail that's like far on the other side that may be aware the Phragmites is coming, may not be aware the Phragmites is coming, but is living a full life as a cattail. And so, you know, we kind of put a lot of human things on it, right? What's the fight? I'm not just going to bow down, and all these things. And I want to say, don't forget the point in this situation, like, is to be a full cattail. Right? So as a person, what does it mean for me to really be a full person? Whether there's the recent horrific things happening, whether there's the chronic horrific things happening, whether it just happened a really long time ago and I'm in a new kind of place, what does it mean for me to be a full, whole person to the best of my ability? And in some ways, that's the task, regardless of the time, the weather, or if I woke up tired or cranky, or I'm full and connected. And so these beings help me as a person to remember that. Like, oh, there's an arc of time, which is an existence of life, which is so much vaster than me. And there's a me in it. That's, you know, me and my life and my people, my loves. It said, like, that's really important. And life itself is something to be connected to, the wonder of it, the beauty of it. Even if it's a matter of like, how do I, as a person, navigating things with other people who are trying to hurt me, how can I address that as a whole person? Because in terms of pain, in terms of oppression, right, there's a dehumanizing that can happen, right, that's kind of coming at me. And one of the most important things internally for me is, how do I maintain my sense of being a person and act from that place to the best of my ability? And even when I can't, how do I have people in my life who pull me back in or orient me back in there? Or when do I go and sit down by the river and look at these trees and look at this water and these little fish and the sun and hear the birds and see people running and riding near road and like, oh, there's like also these other beings, there's other ways to be than getting caught up in the push to grind or to do more, 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 or to be bigger, stronger, flashier, whatever it is, relatively speaking. And so I think that is that piece, right? So as a person, if we are experiencing real deep feelings of grief, right, and rage, or even hopelessness, right? And those are appropriate responses to some of the things that are going on. To feel, not to live in, but to feel. And so then how can I get these other supports to like really allow that feeling to be there and to be expressed and to move? Because actually as a person, feelings come and go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if circumstances are such that, so we're always navigating how we're doing and the circumstances that we're in. Sometimes we have very little control over the circumstances. Sometimes we have a lot of control over the circumstances. And so if there's little control, then trying to push the answer there for ourselves and our own well-being is not skillful. Because it's much more like, okay, how do I navigate the reality of these things, right? These murders and atrocities have happened, right? If we look at these kind of very recent massacres that have happened. Okay, I can't undo that. So that's not the circumstance I can change. And I'm impacted by that. How am I going to deal with actually how it's impacting me right now in a way that's also about my personhood, right? My humanity, my wholeness? And that might be just crying, right? Because that's what's emerging in that moment, right? Or it might be, you know, yelling and raging, like, because that's what's actually present in that moment. Or it might be like feeling all of it, like, oh, I just got to really be present with these feelings. I don't just have to do anything with the feeling, because they're actually going to come, and like in a little period of time, they will go, because that's also what feelings do. Very often, we are the perpetuators of the story to kind of re-stimulate the feelings. Oh, see, right? And I never, and we're never, and we kind of, you know, it's like the tire that you're like just hitting down the road, running next to, and you have to keep hitting it, because otherwise it's going to fall over. So that feeling of like, you know, whatever it is, hopelessness, righteous anger, even like these desire to feel just good and happy. We got to keep doing the thing to keep perpetuating this feeling, which is artificial. And it's not necessarily the resolution of it. That just means we're just going to keep hitting it along. And very often that creates its own suffering because we get locked in that and then feel like that is all that there is. And so, you know, who are the beings, who are the people, where are the supports, where's the system to come and like, oh, hey, what are you feeling? Let's just be with that for a little bit. Pause there. Right? We've very often myself and I know people want to like, here's the feeling, we want to turn it into something.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm heartbroken. Well, I'm mad because I'm heartbroken. And it's easier to be mad and express that than to be heartbroken. Right? You walk down the street and you see somebody angry, you might not want to be near them, but like that kind of makes sense in the world. Oh, of course, lots to be angry about. Right, okay, just let me just stay away from that person. But if you walk down the street, you see somebody heartbroken, it's like, ooh, we have to stop that. Something's wrong. Oh, that person's confused. Ah, I got a place to go, things to do. Don't have time for that. Right? And so that's part of like, as a whole person, what needs to be cultivated, what needs to be healed, what needs to be undone, what needs to be reinforced. What patterns are actually getting in the way that I am doing of my own personhood and my own wholeness. Mm. Right? And then I can think clearly about, oh, what are other people trying to do? And let me now skillfully deal with that in a different way.
That's a lot to unpack.
Well, if you bring it back to, oh, what does it mean to be like, really, for me to be a person? Yeah, there's a lot to unpack because we have packed a lot and put it away.
Yeah.
To push, to move on, right? This culture is like, no unpacking, just pack it, steal it, close the vault.
And let's keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. We do not unpack things. We do not unpack things in front of us. We pack them away. With never the intention of coming back around to them.
We might in the moment say like, oh yeah, that's hard. Not right now, because I've got some things to do, right? And maybe, but yeah, for the most part, it's just like, I've got things to do. This isn't the way.
Mm.
And that's, I think fundamentally that is no way, I have not found that effective or helpful to really live into what's really possible in our lives. Not as some like, you know, the possibilities to be like wondrous, shiny, beautiful, that's like to be a freaking person. We don't have to be like kings and queens. Like we can be like regular folks living full lives. How about that? How about that? And so Orisha practice is fundamentally one working, recognizing our relatives and our relationships with the quote natural world, with all these other beings, is just fundamental. That's actually part of our community. And so that's the piece where, in terms of that post, it was, let me remember, let me listen to these beings.
Mm.
Struggle, who live and die, whose lives are cut short, right? Who got the branch that's all crooked over here because something chewed on it, right? And it's still orienting towards life. Right? Climate change, climate crisis happening, species disappearing, awful, horrific, and things are just still trying to live. Oh, maybe I got to move over here because this is more. This is now the ecosystem that is warmer, right? Or colder, or more conducive. And it used to be over there, right?
Mm.
And it may be, you know, just like the cattails, right? The shrinking environment because of these Phragmites. And it's still about being a cattail. That's still the point.
I like that. You still got to be you, no matter what is happening.
Yeah, and sometimes the you is veiled and confused and locked away, and we don't even know who that is. And so that's where it's getting support. Like, there's always kind of a you, but like, is it the me that is actually getting nourished versus the me that is, I'm doing the things and I'm wearing the things and I'm posting the things and I'm out in the world, I'm doing it. I'm doing my hustle, right? Oh, is the tender hearted, connected, open, evolving, present you there? Or is that the one that's like locked away because of fear, because of hurt, because of not getting the support, because of trauma, because of all the things, right? All the no's. And it's not to minimize that at all. And can we at least, even when there are circumstances outside of our control, can we at least kind of take the stand to explore and to be present with this possibility of this precious, tender, fragile life that we are in right now? No one listening to this is going to be here in 150 years. That's just a fact. So can we even just be with this preciousness? Not like, oh my God, do all the things. But where am I really? Who am I really? Who are these? Am I loved and supported? Am I helping to nurture love and support around me? Do I even know what that means? Am I taking care of myself? So that when others aren't and don't want to, there's still something here, right? I can navigate that differently. And that is a lot to unpack. That is a journey. But what else? You know, it's like you go into a place and have an opportunity. Based on whatever your capacity is, can you take advantage of that opportunity? So here we are as like human beings, wherever we're at, can we, what does that mean? And not to get too heady, because it can be real practical. Right? I'm taking care of these people and here's this love and like I'm creating this or I love listening, but like, can I be with my life? To whatever that degree is.
So sitting in the forest, did we say forest? Sitting in the woods, sitting in the forest, connects you back to what's important? Does it connect you back to remembering what you know? Your practice, your inner self, your outer self?
It's all of that. And so for me, that is the place that it's easier to be connected to a me that exists that is not bound up in work, identity, how people see me, how I see other people, how I think they see me, all those things. And I'm a person. Like, it is the clearest place where there's like, oh, I belong here also. I belong in these relationships. And it's not based on the messages of my value that this culture presses into me. And that I have internalized very deeply. And so it opens other possibilities of ways of being, of ways of what is best for me, of navigating other relationships, of just feeling before jumping to a to-do, to a fix, which I'm very well trained at doing. Well, here's the thing. What can I do to fix the thing? Right? And I literally, there was a place that I was in. There was this one section of the woods that had gotten clear cut. which was like super painful to see. And I was in this other section. I was like, okay, I can't go there. I went somewhere else. I was like, I'm going to write letters and I'm going to do the thing and protest. I don't get this moving. Why is this happening? And I was sitting in this other section of the woods. And I was like, oh, it's really peaceful. And I was sitting and it's beautiful. This was a few years ago. And noticed that there was a couple areas that had been logged there, right? So stumps which had been decayed or something, like other things were growing out of them. And just being there and really kind of feeling into this message of, like, don't fix it, just feel it. And I had to actually own my feelings about it, not my perceived feelings on how the woods felt, how nature felt. But my feelings, and like sit with those. And that was very, I didn't start from that place. And that was really powerful to feel because it also was like, oh, this is my feelings about this thing that happened. And, you know, we are certainly impacting the earth and the earth is going to change and adapt based on what we're doing. And that's what's happening, which may make it not very likely for us to be able to exist here, but the earth will. Right?
I say it all the time. The earth is ready for us to get off of it.
Cattails in this ecosystem, in this part, right? It may not be able to live enough in a good relationship with the cat, with these Phragmites, and the Phragmites may just like, okay, y'all are gone. And actually at some point, 1,000 years from now, right? There's this piece around like time. There may be a way that there's an adaptation that Phragmites become a part of this ecosystem, right? If we talk about like thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, things are moving and morphing all the time, but it's the speed, the initial impact, right, which is disruptive. And then things find balance and find a way to adapt. That's like the overall system on this planet. And so when we as human beings are like, no change, I'm not going to feel, we're going to, right? That is against nature, our nature, right? I'm not going to feel, I'm going to pack all this away. That has an impact on us as human beings. Limits our capacity to feel. We start locking things away. That's just how it works. We can't say, I just want to access the joyful memories and I'll just lock away the traumatic ones. Like, it just doesn't work that you're like, I'm going to open my heart and like all everything comes rushing in. Ah! Right. So people are like, okay, I'm not going to do that again. Right. Or say, let me learn how to skillfully deal with really who I am. Cause I want love. I want connection. And so this tradition helps me to move in right relationship with these other beings that have been here a lot longer than me, in a system that's a lot older than me, going to continue after me. So how do I show up in relationship to them as the visitor? And say, you have something to teach me. We're like the only beings on this planet that need a whole lot of stuff just to survive. We have these little tiny birds living through these New England winters, and they're just like, okay.
It's winter. I'm all right. I'm good.
Right. It dropped down to 30 and you're all like, freaking out. Got to turn all the heat up. Like, we're fine. Like, we're the ones that need, rely on and need all the extra things that's not just like in our bodies. Everything else just has its body.
That's a good point to know and remember. You know.
We are not the senior members on this planet. We have come under the illusion that we are. And so we're in our destructiveness, we have caused havoc as if we are. But that's not the only way. We've actually lived as human beings for tens of thousands, right? Whole 100,000 years. And then this little bit of time, we just undid all that. Because of civilization and technological advancement, but forgetting, it's why like when you're at home, you don't like set a fire in the middle of your living room to be warm, right? Because of the destruction it'll cause. But like, that's what people did. They're like, oh, okay, we can make a fire right here. Great. We don't have to go anywhere. Let's just, right? And everything starts clouding up and smoky. And well, you know, now we can't be in this room anymore. So we'll go to another room and do it, right?
That's a good point. That's a good point that we do require so much. Or we think we require so much. Or we've gotten used to a standard.
Right. Well, it's not even just a standard. It's the standard that has come in order to hit that is about that forgetting, right? It's like, you know, there's all kinds of experiments. I studied psychology as an undergrad. All kinds of crazy experiments they do on behaviors and like rewards and punishments and things. And so like they did this crazy experiment where it was like, oh, so you give an animal the option of like eating food that's nourishing or, you know, a button that just stimulates a pleasure center, right? That's your option. And this animal will just be like, yep, pleasure, 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 and then starve. Because it feels good. Right? So like, but so the reminder is like, we need nourishment. We need to be reminded. We need community and connection and understand that it's not just, I'm just going to get what I can get because it just feels good. But that's how we've been sold and internalized, right? So that like, right, that's part of that more, push, grind, right? Bigger success of things because there's an idea of pleasure, of attainment of a thing or of a battling off and staving off discomfort. It's all about comfort. Got to be comfortable. Right. So, oh, certain, right. What is the kind of privilege that we have in terms of lives of comfort relative to other people in the world? You know, a level of poverty that like we really don't know in a blanketed way in this country as a whole. Right. And so we're in kind of this gated community of prosperity at a cost. And, you know, as a culture, we are not very good or desiring to look at what the real cost of things are, which is really the destruction of our relatives, right? These other beings who are important to us, not because they feed us or give us a thing, but just by their existence, right? Sitting there by the river, it wasn't like, oh, this is the tree that I can get the fruit to eat. And that's why it's valuable. It's like, no. Or this is the water that I'm going to drink. No, it's there's a thing here that nourishes me, that connects me to something that's not just about like a taking or specificity around like, I'm going to use it to like make the clothes I'm wearing, the styly thing, or build the house I want to. It's like, oh, it has value just because it's there. Not in relationship to me at all, like about my use or not. Like there's a whole lot of things that exist that are annoying, right? Mosquitoes, those are annoying. Not happy, but like they have a place. Don't want them biting me, right? Don't want them spreading stuff, but like.
I mean, we've learned that we need bees. Bees are really the foundation for life. And if we get rid of the bees, we can kiss life goodbye, right?
Even that, it becomes what is the thing that has the value because impacting us negatively, right? We see, oh, the bee is important, right? Because like, oh, all this food actually needs to be pollinated. Oh, like, whoops. Didn't realize that, right? But these other things that, you know, even don't have that same, like, feeding us or feeding the things that feed us have value in place. This is the home that we showed up in that was already here.
Yeah.
And so this remembering helps me, to plug into that part of it. Like, oh, right. There's nourishment and connection here that is not dictated by this culture and society that I'm in. That puts conditions on my value. That puts conditions on, oh, are you doing good work? This is what good work looks like. Are you helping your people? This is what that looks like. Right? Over here. And like, oh, there's actually this whole other existence, way of being that is being eliminated and pushed out. So I go sit down by the water. help it cut through the fog of when I forget so much, right? Because it's there. The mountain is there. The ocean is there. The grasses are there. The birds are there. The cattails are there. Even the Phragmites are there, right? All of these things are here. Can we arrive? And that takes practice bit by bit. Remember, remember, remember. Hey, come on back. This is here. Oh, here you are. Oh, look, you strayed a little bit. That's okay. Come on back. Just remember. Keep coming back. There's something here for us.
That's a good conversation today. I'm going to keep cattails and Phragmites in my mind. That'll be my North Star today.
Be a cattail. Be a person. Whichever one gets you there.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Babs.
I will see you in what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Anru.
Have a wonderful day.
Have a good weekend. I hope I see you in these streets. Say hi to everybody at your house. And tell Tegan, thank you for the new photo. I'll use it. All right, Harry Droz, it's a wrap. Play us out. I'll be downtown at 11, at 12 for pundits. So y'all hang around if you want to hear us chop it up about the latest political news of the day. So thank you, Anru.
Thank you, Babs. You're welcome. Yeah.